Join us for episode 71 and learn more about the ebb and flow of art making, the many moods you go through, how to get your passion back, and the va-va-voom. Welcome to Art Ladders, The Creative Climb with Valerie Allen and Armin Merzman. This podcast is focused on interviews, features, and stories about art. It's for artists and art lovers. I'm Val. I'm the abstract artist in the group, joined by Armin, the realist. Hello, everyone. Hey, it's episode 71 with Art Ladders. I'm Val, and Armin and I are going to have a little coffee talk. I'm going to run and grab my coffee really quick.
Okay, so I'm going to take over. It's nice to see you out there again. And I see that in my mind. So, did everybody watch the eclipse yesterday? Are people running around with sore eyes? Well, we're up here in Michigan. There wasn't a whole lot going on where we're at, but we did see everything get a little darker, and I was working in the studio and kept going outside, waiting for something really dramatic to happen, but it got darker. So
it did, and we saw beautiful shadows, and my home state is Ohio, and my family down there were going crazy over this. They were in the Cincinnati area, so they didn't get the full effect as, say, just a little bit north of them.
I think in Dayton they did.
Man, the schools were let out. Everything was happening. You know, it was really fun.
I think they doubled their population in the end.
I think they did. The interstates were packed. Very exciting.
I had to actually cancel a class because nobody was there.
Oh, yeah.
they were watching the eclipse.
Right. And a lot of folks from Michigan did head down there. So
I did see one when I was in my late teens. So...
yeah.
I don't have to have that in my bucket list.
It's pretty exciting. It really is. So anything that kind of revs up the universe, I feel is a good sign, good energy. And a lot of people that were right in the totality zone, they were very impressed.
Were they?
So, oh, yeah.
Writing good reviews.
5 stars, thumbs up, boom.
I'm going to wait for the movie to come out.
So. Okay. So today we're going to talk a little bit about energy and how do you get energy? How do you get your passion back?
That's right. I think that happens
for artists.
It happens to all of us artists sometimes that we're kind of in the doldrums and, you know, why am I doing this and all kind of stuff.
So many things.
And with what's happened to us with everything, COVID and all this other kind of stuff, you know, how do you keep your passion?
How do you think you lose it in the first place? What can happen to you that causes you to lose it? One morning you wake up just feeling a ball of energy, and I'm talking about myself. Next morning I wake up and I'm like dragging. How do I lose it? How do I get it back?
How you lose it is there's all kinds of ways you can lose that. And I question if you lose the passion for the reason you want to make art, or you just lose the passion to make art, which is different. I think, you know, I've never lost my passion to be an artist.
Right.
But there's times when I've lost my passion to do a certain art form, you know, those kinds of things. But I think, the passion to be an artist and be a creative is always there. That doesn't mean every day I'm going to be, woohoo, I'm a creative. I'm going to go, you know, there's days when, either just read a good book, but I rarely fall into that. Usually I go out, I start, and it comes back.
You are very, very good with discipline. I think it's from your heritage.
Yeah.
Your German heritage. But I've noticed that you are very good at sticking to a schedule. You rarely want a disruption in plans once you've set that.
I don't handle that too well. If I have a day and, okay, I'm going to work here and I'm going to work there, because now I'm working in kind of in three studios, and my computer studio and my drawing studio and my painting studio. And you know, with painting, once you got your paint laid out and it's wet, you got to work because you can't, you know, let that dry or anything like that. But it's a place I'm the happiest.
Do you recommend artists, all artists have themselves on a very rigid schedule? You know, do their
No, I
work.
couldn't recommend that for other people because, you know, there's certain reasons I'm that way. Being German is one of them. OCD is another. And, you know, so it's the perfect storm, I suppose. But, you know, I can't, you know, some of my students and artist friends are that rigid. Others, they just want it when they want to paint, they paint. And when they don't, they don't. They never think twice about it, you know. And I can't say that's wrong. It's just not the way I operate.
As everybody out there, a lot of you listeners know, Armin and I have pretty much opposite personalities. And I'm the one that's a little more of the free spirit, jump and go. No matter what the deadline is, I'm kind of floating with it and running around. So I look at Armin, and sometimes I crave that productivity discipline because I feel that, and you've seen a lot of quotes on this about do the work, you know, think about getting being prolific. It's a goal of mine, just be prolific. And it's harder than it sounds. You know, I love art and I love art making. But there are so many other things for me that can grab my attention as well.
Yeah.
I'm almost a squirrel type person.
Right.
I like the shiny new objects. So it's really my mother was a big help with me on this because when you're growing up and you're a teenager and you get into these, you know, romantic notions and you know, you'd get all bent out of shape if a relationship wasn't going well. And she would say, Val, you have to get your head out of that. You've got to get your head in a place where you're not thinking so much about the romantic world, but more about the world that you can make, the world that you can create. And so what she was getting at is just go in your studio and make some art. You know, early on, go make some art because when you're making art, the time is irrelevant. It's just irrelevant. You know, time passes. It's a joyful place to be in, and you don't think about all those, oh, he broke up with me today, that kind of snivelly, snobbly stuff. Oh boy, I bet that didn't sound good to you listeners.
Sorry, guys,
He just
we
knocked
have
over a
connector.
microphone. There we go.
There we go.
Hopefully,
This is just to wake you up. If you
you may
we're
not even hear it because sometimes these loud noises get filtered right out.
right.
So,
But yeah, you know, I also think that non-artists have a different vision of what the artist does in the studio, in a sense. I think they think it's a very romantic kind of deal where magic happens, and you know you're eating a charcuterie board and drinking wine
report.
and drinking wine
Well,
there,
that's kind of true.
and you know it's like you're on the left bank in Paris. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but that's not what it is like, really. It's discipline, it's work. There's part of that that happens. You know, I'm going through a really paradigm shift with art right now in some ways. And it's exciting and frightening at the same time. So last night when I got done painting, you heard me right, I'm painting. Things weren't going so good. And I finally had to quit because everything was wet. And, you know, so today I'm like, I have two choices. Just don't ever go back and look at this again. Or go back and tackle it.
Right. And I know what you'll choose. You're going to go back and tackle it for
Yes.
sure. So, you know, getting your energy back, getting your passion back in art is a lot like, again, I'm going to refer to relationships. You know, relationships ebb and flow. They can be, you know, the very passionate in the beginning, and then it kind of calms down.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. No, you have no. And since we are a couple, you know, how do you get through these rough patches that everybody has? We all have them. And is it similar to getting your passion back in art? I know when things are going well for you and me personally, I'm energized to get down there and work. When things aren't going so great, and it could be the craziest things.
Then you go down there when you're mad.
And then I go down, okay, let's talk about that. Using anger as a way to motivate. That works.
I don't
think. Oh, not that we're there, but we've been there.
We've been there.
We've been there. Everybody's been there.
But I don't think it makes a hell of a difference for me. You know, I don't think I enjoy being in there as much as that, because that's that's on my mind.
Right. It's kind of clouding your mind up.
And
oh my gosh,
it's probably not the best idea to be creating a piece or the concept of a piece.
Right.
Well, you know, if you're, well, yeah, you're right there. Yeah. Sometimes it is, you know, but. Well, I have to say that the different kinds of art I'm doing right now, I'm no longer the realist of the group, let's say that. And I'm not the abstractionist either. I'm the tinker of the group at this point.
You know, you're going through a transition, and that's always hard too. But I think artists can use that transition as a way to get to gain energy as well, because it opens up so many doors that you can go through. And I don't know quite how you are organizing that in your mind, but I have to say, I've between you and me and the rest of the world out there,
yeah, right? Between you and me,
I've never, I don't think I've witnessed you, and we've been together, oh my God, 20 years or so. Being this conflicted with where you're going in your art journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of led to this discussion, because we, when you lose your way, you haven't lost your way completely. But when
no,
that
I don't think
happens,
I've lost my way at all. It's just, there was,
it's so different.
It was time for me to discover new areas,
mm-hmm.
things that I've been dealing with through iPhonography in the last 10 years for sure, and things that I dealt with early on. And first of all, you know, I draw, and it takes me 1,000 hours to do a drawing. That's an enjoyable time, but it's mm-hmm. not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an enjoyable time. But you go out there and you work. You work 8 hours. Next day you work 8 hours, and you're not in your conceptual time. You've already
right.
did the concept.
That's
of it, right.
Right.
So I don't draw from a photograph and try to become, you know, be a photorealist, all that stuff. It's just a naturalist. I you know, I move things around all the time, so I'm using that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And
but it is a very deliberate way of working, and it's a very like you said, it's not so much concept at that point. You've already done what you probably feel is the exciting part, coming up with the concept. I'm putting words in your mouth, but finding the concept. And then once the concept is done, then you get on this, you get in the car, you get on this road for this long, long journey.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, it could probably be starting to get boring. Am I right?
I'm not sure if the, well, yeah. You know, I was talking to my class the other day, and I was showing the class some of these small little tree paintings I was doing.
Uh-huh, right.
About 30 some years ago, and they were selling really well. They mm-hmm. were beautiful. Why would I quit something like that? Because I couldn't say anything new. I looked at my third one of those and said, I can't get back to that level. So I was repeating myself, but not as good. And mm-hmm. I was tired of that.
Gosh, artists really, we really put ourselves through the paces. I'm kind of circling back to our personal experiences with art making and how that might be a commonality with our listeners. Let's say, for example, the listener has been doing a style of art that is selling, and it's, the public love it, and you're doing it over and over. How do they keep it exciting for themselves? It doesn't hurt to have a little income coming in, for sure.
No.
For sure. That's a little bit of a carrot on the stick. But what else is the carrot on a stick? You had a funny look on your face.
Because I
Have
don't.
you heard that expression?
No, I think you're mixing cliches, but okay.
Oh no, it's where the carrot and the horse and
Oh,
anyway.
yeah. Okay.
So, the money is good. The galleries love you because you're doing the same thing over and over. But personally,
Well,
as an artist, we get tired of
my
it.
Chicago gallery dropped me because they said we don't handle drawings. We love your work, it sells, but we're not going to carry your drawings.
It is
And
so
that was
true.
a big, thing in my income at that time because those things were selling really well. But if you're doing it just to make money, then I would be bored of it anyway, you know.
Yeah, it gets.
I mean, I'm never going to ever make money as a graphite artist, as far as time put into it. That's not to say I'm not selling them. I am selling them, but you figure 1,000 hours and blah blah blah,
But let's think of some alternatives to that. Let's think about let's okay, in the career world, people will say to you, hey, don't go for another job or don't quit your job until you know you have another job lined up. So as artists, can we think like that? Don't completely abandon your style until you have another opportunity. And it could be art writers do it all the time, a pseudonym. You could be while you are transitioning, you could go ahead and build a new body of work and maybe even approach a different gallery. Or is that possible? Or is it either
I
or?
think you got something there because my son Jeremy came to the studio on Saturday and we're listening to some tunes and I was painting away, and he's used to me drawing and being the realist guy. But here I'm kind of, and I'll never be the kind of abstractionist that goes over there with big brush strokes or stuff. That's not part of my,
Never say never.
I probably shouldn't say never, but where was I going with this? Oh, he says, oh, are you going to show these pieces? I said, this is a beginning. I don't even know where these pieces are and what they mean. I have to do 20 or 30 of them before I feel like I'm on the right road and that I feel good about them to show them, especially since people know me for a whole different ism like this, And so I'm playing with total abstraction. I'm playing with things that are partially abstract. I don't have a specific goal. Just, I never thought I'd say this. I'm just playing and having fun, right?
But I know that you also have a very, very detailed and what they call long form drawing going on here back here at your home studio.
Yeah.
So you're dancing in both worlds, which I think is
Oh,
absolutely
it's
great.
amazing. It's amazing to go in a studio and create this kind of realism I do, and I love the piece I'm working on right now. And then the next day, go at it with like, what am I doing?
Yeah, right. To
Right?
be the student.
But that's it's a it's and again, I go back to the iPhonography, and that's another thing I'm excited about. I mean, we're having a show on May 2nd
That's right.
for the Great Lakes IPhonography Group at
Creative 360.
Creative 360. So I'm still excited about iPhonography, and iPhonography kind of really, you talk about the get your passion back. It came at the right time where I was just getting bored of just drawing, and it came about accidentally. Really, I got a phone, had a camera on it. Who would have thunk it, right? And I started taking pictures of that rust. I mean, when I first met you, you were more you weren't an abstractionist, you were more of an impressionist
I
at
was
the
more of
time.
an impressionist. Yes, absolutely.
So did you deal with abstraction before that, or did you just like it?
I've always loved it, and I'm a big art history buff, so I admired the paintings that Monet went to in his later years, and of course the colors of Van Gogh, and then gradually looking at Kandinsky and moving on. Plus, I was losing my passion for doing that style of art. It was a very sellable
Be careful.
form of
Be
art.
careful if it's sellable.
Yeah, be
Something's
careful.
wrong.
Something, it's like, oh, how can I mess this up? So when I made the big move from northern Michigan down here to mid-Michigan, I thought, you know what? And this is a great way to get your passion back, folks. Reinvent yourself. Reinvent yourself. And that's what I did. And I thought, I'm not known for that down here. I called it tourist art. And not that I didn't love what I was doing, and I created some beautiful paintings up there based on the lake and the shimmers on the lake and very impressionistic lighthouses, subject matter that it's very beautiful. But when I came down here, that's when I started getting into more non-representational. And also I started working for Golden about that time period through Golden
But
Acrylics.
I don't think it came instantly. I
No, it
think you
did
started
not.
taking realism and taking it down to its elements
Taking
of
it down to
color and shapes
shapes
and
were
doing that.
huge and breaking it down. And when I'm teaching my abstraction class, I talk about, you can, of course, abstract something real. You can go completely intuitive and non-representational, or you can have a touch of realism in there and just change up the background, that sort of thing, change the perspective. And so there are different ways, but I kind of move in between those worlds. But to get your passion back, a big move can do it. That's a solution right there.
Also changing husbands.
And changing can do
I think
it.
that
Amen.
so if you need your passion back,
Yeah, well,
change
now we're back on
partners.
the relationship thing. Oh.
But I've had people not I have only shown one of these pieces, and I don't know when I'm going to show another as far as on Facebook is concerned. But I've had some comments or are you being influenced by Val? And of course I am. I mean,
My God, I did the same thing in
I
reverse.
know, because you're dealing with realistic
I
images
am.
for
I'm
this.
dealing with image transfer a lot now. That's realistic.
Of course I'm influenced by Val, but I'm also influenced by all kinds of other people we've interviewed,
Oh my gosh,
and
yes.
that doesn't mean I want to work like that, but I look at it and say, that's an interesting way to put your creative mind down. It's an interesting way to say something, and I'm influenced by all kinds of things. But when you have a wonderful abstractionist living with you, I would be a fool not to be.
No, we definitely rub off on each other, don't we? And you mentioned it a little bit. You're not ready to put this out there on social media, this new work that you're doing. And you're at a very tricky time right now, because I'm not going to equate it to a critique, but you'll probably start getting comments for me, or feedback for me too early is very, very disruptive. I rarely ask for feedback early on. Toward the end, I might. So I'm thinking of other artists out there where the critique can be more, reap more havoc than it can I, than positive. We all say,
Well,
oh, I want to critique. Do we really? Do we really want to critique?
I have to be honest with you. I'm in this new charted territory, and there are questions that I can't answer for myself, and hey, I got a great abstractionist right here. Let's ask her. What do you think of it?
Oh, boy.
Well, I said, I mean, you should have this and that. That doesn't mean that I understand what you're saying, but I can tell the way I work with oils and abstraction. It's a very tedious, I put a little square there. I get rid of that square and I'll move it a quarter of an inch over the square, right? So I'm the same old realist, fussy, OCD, maniac that has to have everything like this. It doesn't change just because I change isms. So you'll see that in the work that it's a different way of doing abstraction than in general. I don't know.
So how then would feedback at that particular point, would that send you into a tailspin of losing your passion and saying, oh, I give up. I give up.
No,
This
no,
isn't
no,
working.
no.
That
I
wouldn't
mean, if you came
shift
in
for
and
you.
said, "Oh, this is awful," it wouldn't make a big difference.
Right. He's looking at me, folks, like, oh, yes, it
No, I mean, we ask each other, and we always do at some point. Oh, I'm working on this. What do you think? And when we get that, what do you think? Then we say what we think.
I'm glancing over, I have my whiteboard out here, everybody, where I'm looking at other ways that becoming, non-productive in your art world, how that can come about. One thing is being overloaded with life. Too much on your plate. Can't get to the studio. It happens to me a lot, a
Yeah, but
lot.
you think about that overloaded with life. What does that exactly mean? What are you overloaded with? I mean, is it visiting people? Is it traveling? Is it
It could be positive. Could be positive overload of life. It could
you
be,
got to go bowling today. Nothing
I've got
against
a
you bowlers, but
party to go to. Something like
It's
that.
decisions.
It's decisions. That's the root of it.
It's like,
Making good decisions.
I have so many hours to make art in my life, and I'm going to spend three of them, going out to eat and whatever,
That is. And then
So.
the day to day, the household duties can get in the way, but you just have to leave it. That's what I do. That's probably why if someone came to our home, we love it. It's like a big working laboratory of crazy art and all these things we're working on. But to a normal person coming over here to say have dinner, it's not conducive for
We
that.
don't let normal people here.
We
We don't even let abnormal people
I
out here.
oh boy. So we're in the process of fixing up our studio with a small gallery. And next week we'll be actually painting the gallery space. So I'm excited because then we will have a spot that people can visit us and
See
we
how
can
excited I
socialize.
am?
And he's super excited about painting actual painting walls,
I
but
do it with an Ought To brush.
and this place is not going to be pristine,
It's
shiny.
a warehouse.
It's a warehouse. But we thought, well, and this is actually bringing a lot of passion for me because I've always been kind of in retail or in gallery spaces as curators. You have too. And so to have a place where we can invite people to view our work, this is a big step. And it's not going to be this retail hour thing. It's going to be by appointment. We have a beautiful farmers market that's just a hop, skip, and a jump. And so during farmers market Saturdays, that'll be a nice place to roam around and come over and check out what we're doing.
Well, it's a sound idea. I mean, we
Yeah,
have
it's a
art,
sound idea. Right. And not only do we have art, but you'll actually see the studios that we work in and the projects that we're working on will be out and will be available to talk to. And that really kind of revs me up, when I go through the ebb and flow when new
I
projects.
think you work best when you have a lot of good things happening to you.
Well, yeah, I think most people do. there's so many things that can push you off the track, but the positives, if you can just focus on the positives right. that are going on. You know, yesterday was kind of a sad day. Not sad, but it's basically Texas time. And that's a sad time.
You know, it's always
running around, gathering all the information. Oh my gosh.
And we like to push it right to the end.
We push it to the end.
But yeah, that's something you have to do. You have no way around it. Mm-hmm. And so I got 3 pieces, 4 pieces, 5 pieces I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, I bought this eraser, put that
right.
on there.
Right. Artists, this crazy taxes for artists, you know, the things we have to remember and, you know, the framing and the travel, the mileage I put on that car for art related is astounding.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't want to.
Theoretically, I should be keeping track all year, but, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, theoretically, you know, I should be doing a lot of things, you know, that I don't do. And why? Because, oh, I think I'm going to do art today. I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those things happen. I'm still paying on a magazine for an audio magazine that I got 3 years ago that goes from getting it and throwing it in the garbage. Yeah. And yesterday when I was checking it out, I was like, I'm paying at least $200 a year for this stupid
man.
magazine.
This is a good time
and
to
of course
clear
then
that.
I tried to get a hold of them,
Yeah.
and all of a sudden my
Yeah.
password doesn't.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So of course, even though I keep, you know, really track of passwords and all that stuff, when you try to cancel something, they're all of a sudden they're gone.
Right.
You know. So
Wow. Okay. Cost of making art that ties into this can definitely dampen your spirits. So
well,
I try not to think too much about that.
You know, I've seen people work really hard.
Yeah.
And do a beautiful piece.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, framing is prohibitive. And they
Right.
stick it into some frame that doesn't match it.
Oh, yes.
Size.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're taking something that's beautiful and making it okay because you have a bad frame on it. And yeah, you know, with a drawing, you know, yeah, I'm going to put an expensive frame on it. Not expensive to, it's big.
Right.
Right.
It's big. So it's going to be, so the cost of making art can dampen spirits, but there are ways around that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's alternative, just kind of thinking of the alternatives could get your passion back on the framing ideas. So
well, that's, you know, look at Pinterest and instead of looking
yeah.
at art, look how the art is framed.
Yes.
There's some great ideas there.
Oh yeah. Even drawings.
Oh,
Great
anything.
ideas.
Yeah.
With
See, I like
magnets.
glass in front of my
I know you do.
Some people prefer not to, you know, but
I think if push came to shove, you could put your drawings up without glass on them, Armin. But with the varnishes that are out now. But just something to think about, just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have a lot of workshops coming up this summer that are kind of filling and getting ready to roll. And
yeah, I don't have the hard facts, but I'm teaching a 3-day drawing boot camp in a few places and contour drawing in a few places and a class called Iphonography for the Traveler.
Oh, that sounds fun. Where's the location on that one?
Well, I'm teaching one at
Birmingham. Is it Birmingham?
No, it's at the Atelier.
Okay.
And
and that's
I'm
in Royal
teaching
Oak,
at
Michigan.
Studio 23.
Okay. Bay City, Michigan.
All right. And I think I'm teaching it at 360.
Okay.
I don't have all these.
I'll gather this and put it in the show notes because the summertime is going to be a busy time. We're going to have to juggle our art making time quite a bit. So,
Right.
yeah, I'll be doing one at Atelier June 1st and 2nd on abstraction. And then the fun one, I'm thinking is going to be super fun because, you know, I went through that crazy 30-day challenge on printmaking and I put a lot of reels on Instagram of the prompts. So I'm centering a 2-day, I call it a print-a-thon, mixed media print-a-thon down at Grosse Pointe Artists Association. Mm-hmm. That'll be May 18 and 19, a Saturday-Sunday combo. And I'll bring my jelly plates, I'll bring my little tiny printing press, and we will go for it. I'll even teach a process on mono printing with watercolors, which is kind of cool too. So that's something
And then we're doing
out
one
there.
together, experimental
Oh,
drawing.
yeah, the one we do together.
Yeah.
So you'll get to listen to
Yeah.
us like you're listening to us now. And that'll be at Creative 360, June 29th and 30th. So all of these are in mid-Michigan. But gosh, if you're out there and you want to travel in, let us know because you won't be staying at our house, like I
No,
said
we
before.
said that,
It's
yeah.
a mess. But we can recommend different places to stay in either Detroit area or up here in the Bay City, Saginaw, Midland area. So anything else that you can think of that will
Well,
snap you out of a bad spot with your passion and get it rolling again.
what when those little bits of surprise come along and you've made a mark that you love, to me that's beautiful. It's amazing. I get excited about it. You know, I'll be working on a bigger painting and look at the little mark and look at it over and over again. I love this little mark. Well, what is that? That's passion. That's passion for
That is,
design. It's
that
passion
is.
for color. It's passion for saying something. We talked a little bit about what do you say with your work? What if you don't have anything to say anymore, except that, you know, I like oranges and you paint oranges over and over
Yeah, writing helps me.
Is
Journaling
it?
helps me. Definitely. In the morning pages through Julia Cameron's book, which I've been doing quite a few years now, probably 20 years. And that helps me get back to that positivity. And then also a good night's sleep. It does
That
wonders.
helps
I'm a
too.
morning person, I would say,
You
wouldn't
are a
you?
morning person.
And toward the evening, that's when things start, the shadows come in and I get a little bit down. But in the morning, it's a brand new slate.
Yeah.
And
Sunny out.
yes,
Yes,
so
we're having
I'm
fun.
fired up
Yeah.
because I'm working on some paintings right now. I'm shooting for a deadline, of course, but they're really coming
You work really
along.
well for deadlines.
Really coming along. That is adrenaline, and adrenaline can change your mood, and for a good, in a good way, also bad, but for me in a good way. So I need that little shot in the arm to keep me
Well,
moving.
I think, you know, to have a partner that is all in, that's interested in art as well,
That
I
helps.
think that helps a lot. I mean, in some ways, then, you know, you come upon disagreements that are silly sometimes, but,
Yeah.
you know, I'm really, I don't, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, not having that in my life.
That having
Well,
someone
you.
that you can bounce artistic ideas off, that's all, you know,
Well, I can
really.
bounce artistic ideas off the janitor, but you know,
It's not
I mean, I
this.
want to live
You
with
want to
him.
bounce it off another artist, probably.
Well, and if it's an
Yeah.
artist you love, that's
Yeah.
even
That's
better.
even better. That's
So
even better. You're right.
that's the
Yeah.
passion.
Yeah.
You
We'd love to hear what you all are thinking about this,
agree?
either on
Yeah.
our Instagram or Facebook. Just let us know how the ebb and flow for you is going right now. And we will see you in a couple of weeks with an interview
An
of an
interview,
artist.
yeah.
And we really enjoy that you're here. And
Yeah,
thank you so
please keep
much.
listening and tell somebody else too.
Yes.
We'd like
Pass
to
it
grow
on.
this. We, you know, we've been doing this for close to 3 years now.
Yeah, and we really enjoy it.
All
We hope
right.
you do too. Bye,
Okay. Happy
everybody.
creating.
Calling all artists and writers, Golden Apple Art Residency in Down East Maine is accepting applications for the summer of 2025. Director and artist Shelley Stevens is curating the attendees for 2025, and as always, the spots are limited. Golden Apple is a unique residency that provides you with uninterrupted time and space, support, and inspiration. I've been a resident there before, and I have to say the evening meals are filled with artistic conversation and thought-provoking questions. So, no matter what stage you are in your creative journey, this intimate coastal setting provides you to be in a small group of creatives who share a common goal to make art that matters. Contact director and artist Shelley Stevens by email at snstevens@goldenapplestudio.com for more information and the application. Hope to see you all there. And Shelley, hey, thank you for being our sponsor. Thank you for listening. You can find our past and future episodes at anchor.fm, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, Art Ladders, The Creative Climb with Valerie Allen and Armin Mersman. Special thanks to our producer, Taylor Kramer of Cold Shower Media.
And check out our websites, ValerieAllenArt.com, ArminMersman.com. Stay creative, stay curious, and we'll see you next time.